All right, turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be reading out of Psalms chapter 100.
If you think you got off lucky because I'm preaching on Psalm 100, stay tuned. All right, let's read the word together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And let's thank the Lord and ask him to bless our time. Lord Jesus, we're gathered together here in your name for your honor, for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this time. Be free, Lord, please, to work in each one of our hearts and minds. And Lord, lead us in the right thoughts, truths that you want to lead us in. And I pray that you'd bless the preaching, give me the words to speak, and help me to honor you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 100, it's a psalm that we sing quite a bit around here. And if you wonder why, you're going to find out why today. This is an incredible psalm, very, very short, but almost impossible to preach this entire psalm in one setting. And so I'm not even going to try. But just to kind of give you a little, maybe not background, but just a little, kind of set the stage for what this psalm is all about. If you'll notice, there are several references in this psalm to being before the Lord. It says there in verse 2. It says, right in the middle of the verse, it says, before his presence. It says there in verse 4, it talks about his gates. Right around the middle of verse 4, it talks about his courts. And so it gives us a place for this particular psalm. This psalm is taking place in the courts. And whether it's in heaven itself, it fits. Whether it's in the Old Testament temple, it fits. Whether it's in the congregation of the Lord, it fits. And I was thinking about it mainly in terms of what the conditions are going to be like in the millennial kingdom coming up, because that is, that's one thing to where all history is headed to, and that's the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you don't need to be discouraged no matter what happens in the world, no matter what nations rise and what nations fall. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be shaken in your mind, because one thing we know for sure, and it's going to happen, we've got God's word on it, is that God will set up a kingdom on this earth, and he will rule and reign with a rod of iron, and there will be justice, and there will be equity, and it's going to be an incredible, glorious time. Amen. We've got promises of the Lord Jesus coming back again. These promises are not vague. They're not made up. They weren't predicted by Nostradamus or any other false prophet. They are found in writing, in the Word of God, and we know that Jesus is going to come back to us. And so right now, the way that we worship and the way that we sing and the way that we carry ourselves is, as the Scripture portrays, by faith. We've never seen him face to face. And we don't know what he looks like. We don't have any artist renditions of what the Lord is like. We don't really understand fully what it's like to be actually in his presence. And those that have died and gone on before that are now in the presence of the Lord, they know, but we don't really know yet. So we praise by faith. We're thankful by faith. We serve the Lord by faith. And what we're doing is we are counting on what God said about himself, and that's all we have to go on. We don't have any signs. God hasn't appeared to us in these modern days in dreams. God has spoken unto us by His Son, and we have the writings right here in this book right here. But in this particular psalm, in this, what they call the Psalm of Praise, we find that these ones that are praising are actually in His presence. And I've always said that, you know, praise is practice. It's training for the rest of our eternity. You train for a job, and that job's only going to be for a short period of time until you retire or until you die. But the things that we are learning here on earth, we are going to carry with us to eternity. I'm not going to carry my truck to heaven with me. My truck stays down here, you know. It's going to stay here. It's going to mold. It's going to get all broken down. I'm not going to take my money to heaven unless, of course, I give it to the Lord and send it on ahead. I carry nothing with me. Even this very vile body that I've got's going to be changed. And we're going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
This psalm talks about what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. And I've got several things I want to say about it. Because I think too many times we discount praise. And I think too many times we don't believe in this idea of praise. We think praise is just saying a little trite praise the Lord every now and then. Man, I'm telling you what, it goes so much deeper. It goes so much more in depth. And there's no way that we can form it. But in the first two verses, we've got, when it comes to praise, we've got an energy. It's energetic. Verse three. We're going to find out that praise is informed. It's not just open, wild praise about anything. It's we are informed about God. We know that He's our God. We know that we belong to Him. And in verse 4, we're going to find out that our thanksgiving and our praise, it's actually a privilege. When He says enter, this is a privilege. It's not your right. It's not something guaranteed. It's something that God has extended to you to come into His presence. And then in verse 5, we have the focus of our praise, which I don't see anything in here about my truck or about, you know, my good job or about, you know, my good looks or any of these other things. But I find everything about Him, His mercy, His goodness, His truth. And what I want to do is kind of give you an idea what it's like to really praise the Lord, which none of us really understand it and know it fully. We don't know. We don't understand. But man, we ought to work hard in this life to do the best we can to give Him the greatest amount of praise that we can. Notice the energy there in the first couple of verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is not something that I grew up with. I grew up in a very dim lit, very scary, for a kid walking into a church that has statues and everything. And especially we were allowed to watch Dark Shadows as a kid. Those of you that remember Dark Shadows. And I swear you went by that statue of St. Peter and his eyes were following you, you know. But the thing was, is there was this creation to be solemn, you know, and it was intentional to make church a very solemn, a very respected place, a very hallowed place. And so you walk in, you know, and if you dropped something, kind of like Roland dropped the books the other night when we were all praying, it's like, bam, bam, bam. You know, everybody looks at you, you know, you just kind of, everything's solemn, everything's quiet, everything's just kind of, you know. That's not what church is all about. I'm going to tell you something. That's not what the presence of God is all about. Have you read Revelation chapter 4? Have you read Revelation chapter 5? Man, it is a noisy place. I'm telling you, it's okay to make noise in church. And I hope you're not guilty this morning. I know some of you are because I didn't write down your names, but you're just reading. I mean, you're just singing like, I got to get through this singing so I can get to the preaching, you know. Hey, you know something? He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. Yeah, we need to make a joyful noise. It's an energetic place. Look at verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh man, with gladness, the intention. Do you know that praise is a service to the Lord? It is part of our service to the Lord. And I'll tell you something, people watch us to see how we talk about God. Those that know Him the best ought to praise Him the loudest. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I've actually had brothers, you know, say, I don't sing. Well, I can understand you don't sing, you know, if you sound really bad. But listen, the worst, the most tone deaf of you in here have a right to sing.
Amen. Thank you,
and you ought to sing.
Yes.
You ought to sing. Why? Because you're actually adding to the melody of the service. No, no, probably not. But I'm telling you something, God didn't say make a joyful, He said make a joyful noise.
Amen.
He said, yeah, but there's other places in the New Testament where it says to play skillfully. Well, yeah, and we understand if you're going to play an instrument, it's really nice if you could play skillfully. But listen, you ought to sing.
Amen.
You ought to make a little noise. You ought to have some energy in your praise and in your worship.
Yes, sir.
There ought to be some energy just to voice squeaked. Sorry about that. Look at chapter 47, verse 1. As if there was a point being made there with that, right? I can't preach in the open meetings because my voice squeaks. Well, I just took away that from you forever. Chapter 47, in verse 1. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. And it goes on. It says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Man, I think, you know what I would love to do is take all of you guys Friday night to the Southside football game. We were losing. And they were shouting. I was underneath the stadium minding my own business, you know, and walking. I don't remember where I was going. We were helping the band booster deal. And all of a sudden, that whole stadium just erupted. Man, people banging their feet. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I don't know if we're allowed to do that in church or not. But people were clapping, you know, and they were standing up and they were shouting and they were doing all these things because some 15-year-old kid, somebody's boy, had broken free and was running to the goal line with a ball. He was running with a leather ball and he was exciting hundreds of people into uproarious praise. And they're calling out, I mean, they got the emblems, Southside Pride and all that kind of stuff, you know. It was, I was getting into it. I was like, oh wow, cool, they just got a touchdown. Yeah, I think they could tell us a little bit about praise. You know, the funny thing is that we understand that from a physical point of view, but why is it that when we get in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden we're kind of subdued, all of a sudden we're kind of down, all of a sudden we kind of, like we have to keep some sort of decorum. Look, you better get used to a little bit of noise because heaven is a noisy place. Nobody's self-conscious. Oh man, if I say praise the Lord, everybody's going to look at me. Some of us, we enjoy that. I remember I was in a church in Sacramento once and the preacher made a good point. And I said, I don't even remember what I said, but I said something like we're prone to do here. And everybody just kind of, I felt like standing up. Yeah, that was me. It was a good point. The man made a good point, you know. But I didn't. I just kind of. Oh, how sad when you can't make a little noise in church. How sad when you can't put a little bit of energy into praise and adoration and all of this stuff. Man, we start talking about 65 Mustangs and some of you guys are going to light up. Man, you know what kind of motor it has. You know the best paint jobs and the best paint colors. You know the ragtops and all of this kind of stuff. And you can talk a lot about if you had a sick. Man, why can't you do that about God? We got some things to be thankful for.
Amen.
And heaven's a noisy place.
Amen.
And they clap their hands when they're in the presence of the Lord. Look at Isaiah in chapter 49. And by the way, this is not a pep rally that we're talking about here. A pep rally is when all the students come in the morning, really early in the morning, and all of them are dragging in, and then they start doing things to kind of get the emotion up and kind of pep themselves up. That's not what this is all about. We've got reason to be thankful without pepping ourselves up. These are solid things. And look, where did I tell you to turn? Isaiah 49. Thank you. Look at verse 13. It says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, earth. Break forth into singing. You know what you ought to do? You ought to start singing in church.
Yes.
I mean, you ought to start singing in church.
Yes.
You ought to start singing. You ought to express your emotions to the Lord. Man, let loose a little bit. It's okay, you know. And somebody said one time, you know, we haven't seen dancing around here since Steve was here. But, man, we let him go. I mean, now, if you start doing something in the, I don't know how far we'll go with this. I might be getting real dangerous here. Brother said I could do this, you know. But the truth is, we do tighten up a lot. And maybe it's because we don't have it in our mind. Maybe we're coming to church and we've got bills on our mind, and we've got where we're going to eat lunch on our mind. And maybe we've got some conflict with our family and it's on our mind. And we've got our troubles on our mind. And so maybe that's the reason why we get a little subdued. And maybe in the day when we're finally delivered from all of our sin, delivered from all of this wretchedness, we're going to be free to praise him without any hindrance. Amen. But you ought to fight that hindrance now.
Yes, amen.
You find this spirit in you that's wanting to kind of drag you down and push you down, you ought to fight against that. And through clenched teeth sometimes, you ought to just give the Lord honor and glory and praise him even in bad times. This is not praise just because things are going good and we've all got money in our pocket and food in our refrigerator. This is praise because he deserves it. We clap our hands. We make noise. We give him honor and glory for one purpose, because he deserves it.
Amen.
God deserves your praise. Look at Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1. Oh, by the way, let me know when you're convinced. Because according to one writer, there are 570 verses minimum in the scriptures that talk about music, singing, giving praise to the Lord. So if this one will convince you, we don't have to go through the rest of the 500. So let me know. Look at verse, this is one of my favorite psalms. I latched onto this when I got saved. And it was like it was written for me. It was like I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Do you have a new song in your heart? Do the old songs still captivate you more than the new songs? Well, there's something wrong there. Oh, I remember the old songs. I got tears in my ears, lying on my pillow, crying my heart out over you. I got water on my brain and it's your fault and all that kind of stuff. Oh, man, that's the world's songs. That's what the world sings about. The world sings about broken relationship, lost love. The world sings about cheating and getting drunk and partying and doing all these things. But there is a new song. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. I mean, man, there are some songs now that actually mean something for eternity. Shut off the old songs and put a new song in your heart. God put a new song in your heart. Maybe the reason why you're not used to singing and it's kind of uncomfortable for you is because you're listening more to, I don't even know who the stars are nowadays, Johnny Cash, Mel Tillis, I don't know. I do know, I just don't remember their names right now. Oh, but there's a new song that's so much better. Oh man, we gotta take the song service and we gotta jazz it up. Well listen, there are two ways to do it. Amen. Number one, we use external forces and we jazz up the song service by bringing, you know, worship leaders, worship people that can actually sing and know how to lead somebody in a movement and know how to kind of corral the emotions. We could bring somebody like that. And believe me, they go to college for 4 years to study the science of this. And we could bring in a worship leader and get a bunch of instruments. And there's nothing wrong with instruments. In the Bible, we got harps, we got trumpets, there's all kinds of stuff. So it's not like we're like Church of Christ where, you know, we got to be a cappella and everything we do. No, we're not against instruments, but we are against artificially pumping up a song service in order to try to create something. Listen, the enthusiasm the emotion ought to come from a realization of where God brought you from.
Yes.
Man, he got me out of a horrible pit. Man, he put my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. 20 years ago, I was drunk. Now I'm sober. 20 years ago, this and this and this was part of my life. Now he delivered me from that. And I'm so thankful. God's been so good to me. And how can you not then start singing when you've got that kind of realization of what the Lord's done to you? Put a new song in your heart.
Amen.
Listen, gladness is marked by joyfulness. That's what it's marked by. And you can't create gladness and joyfulness externally. All you're going to create is a pep rally. And we don't want a pep rally. We want your heart to spring forward just with joy and praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to what the Lord has done for you. So there's an atmosphere in his presence. What chapter were we in Psalms? Psalm 100. So you notice the atmosphere. Praise and worship, it has an atmosphere. Look at verse 3. It says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Listen, a Bible study on that one verse right there take us minimum about 6 weeks to really get a handle on. There is some meat in here that is incredible. The first thing you've got to know is that the Lord, he is God.
Amen.
And you're saying, well, yeah, of course he's God. Do you realize how many people don't know that the Lord is God? You ask them, they say, who is God? Well, I don't know. You know, and people are clueless. And it seems like people nowadays are voluntarily clueless. Not just come out of just the immortal, I was going to say the sex. But you have a creator.
Amen.
Somebody made you. I've been made by somebody. David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And believe me, each one of you that is sitting here in a physical body is an absolute miracle. Man, the more and more they study biology, how in the world can we possibly exist the way that they do? And my son is away at college, so I don't get these lectures as much anymore. But I used to get all kinds of free lectures from my son on how a grasshopper operates, you know, on how this over here and how this particular bug needs that particular bug over there. I mean, they were fascinating lectures and I learned a lot. But you look at that and it is just absolutely incredible. We've got the thumbprint of God on our bodies. God made us. People are trying to figure out, why do we do what we do? Why do we think the way that we think? Why do we gather in communities that God designed all of that? God thought it up and he said, you know what? We're going to put him in bounds. We're going to separate him. These people over here, we're going to divide them up and we're going to put them in close-knit families. That's why we're really messing up, because we're destroying this idea of family, you know, and God put people together in families, and he put nations together and communities together, and he gave us rules and how we ought to interact with each other. And he gave us rules on hygiene and how to keep from spreading disease from each other. I mean, all kinds of stuff that he did, that he created for us. And once you realize that God is my creator, that takes you to a place. It starts you on this progression here, because in the next part of verse 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And then it says, we are his people.
Amen.
Now there's a difference in being his creation and being his people. See, that's the whole point of salvation. That's the whole reason why Jesus Christ came to die, is so that you could be and you could belong to him specifically. Yeah, everybody in the world is his creation, but not everybody is his people. It's a progression. You realize that the Lord is God, then you realize, man, I gotta belong to him. I've gotta find out who he is. I've gotta make contact with him. And listen, God has made it easy for you to find out who he is. He's given you the written word, and he said, right there, that's who I am. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Listen to his son. He's gonna tell you some things. And then it says there in the end of verse 3, and it says we're the sheep of his pasture. So look at this progression. I start out realizing that I'm the creation of God, and then I realize that, you know, he has extended his hand toward me and given me an invitation. Amen. Of salvation, so that I can belong to him. And now that I belong to him, he is actually leads me like a shepherd. Has anybody ever heard of Psalm 23? Psalm 23, you know, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you've ever been to a funeral, you've read that psalm, you know, and I'm telling you, you read that psalm, it is an awesome psalm. It talks about how the Lord leads us and how he guides us and how he takes care of us and how the sheep know him and they hear his voice and they follow him. And listen, if you have entered into a relationship with Jesus that is that close, that you allow him to influence you, if you read something that he says and you said, Lord Jesus, you're my Lord, you said this, and so I'm going to follow you, I'm going to trust you in this right here, and you begin to mold your life around following him, and you let him lead you and you let him guide you. Listen, I led myself through all kinds of fields and none of them were good. But the Lord is a good shepherd.
Amen.
You know, he doesn't always lead through ease, even in the valley of the shadow of death, but he makes a promise. He says, I'm with you. Listen, do you know him as creator? Have you gone a step farther than that? Do you know him as your own personal
Amen.
Lord? Have you gone a step beyond that? Do you trust him to allow him to be your shepherd? Listen, what we're talking about here is deep stuff, man, that takes a long time to really get really to the bottom of it. And what I'm talking about is that our praise and our worship is not just some mindless, emotional uprising. It is informed worship. I am praising God for a reason and for a purpose.
Amen.
It is specific. He's my creator. I praise my creator. The whole nation, the world, the Bible says that the trees clap their hands. Man, the trees praise God. The lions look to God for their sustenance. Man, the whole creation is dependent upon him. And I need to be dependent upon him too. And he's my redeemer. And oh man, we go back to Psalm 40 on that one. He redeemed me. Man, who am I? You know, when I consider the work of his hands, the psalmist says, and the stars in the heaven, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, why did you condescend to save us? And I'm sure that many people shake their heads and said, what? The Lord loves me?
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross just for the good ones. He died on the cross for everyone.
Thank you, Lord.
For the sins of the world. That's your sins. He had you on his mind when he died on the cross. And he wanted you to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish.
Thank you, Lord.
But that all should come to repentance.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You see, our praise is informed. So we're sitting there, yeah, it might look like we're shouting and we're thinking, but it's not a pep rally. It's not just something where we're pumping up emotions and we have no idea why we're here. Oh, we know why we're here and we know who we're worshiping and we're very focused in what we're doing. The Lord is good.
Amen.
Do you know him as a creator? Do you know him as a redeemer? Do you know him as a preserver? Then don't hold back. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. Do his name. Look at verse 4. We have the privilege here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I was in a conversation this week with the wife of one of the homeowners that we're doing a remodel for, and she got all excited. She said, yeah, you know, the next time you go back to Europe, you know, because I was trying to explain to her, I mentioned that we went to Poland, not just so I could tell her, hey, man, Poland's a really cool place, because I was trying to, you know, segue into telling her why we went, you know, we're preaching the gospel there and all kinds of stuff, but she had none of that. She said, man, and she got this book out and she said, next time you got to go to London. And she's showing me all these places, you know, and she's showing me the Westminster Abbey and I guess the London Eye, that big Ferris wheel. And I was trying real hard not to go, ugh. You know, truth is they're just places. We got some pretty cool buildings here in San Antonio, too. I mean, some really cool, that people actually drive. You may not think it, but people drive to this city to come look at some of our stuff. We got stuff, too, right here. And then she began to describe, the point of the story, thank you, was that she began to describe all that they had to go through to see the Queen. Oh, yeah, you got to sign up for this and this, and then you got to get on the schedule because then there's a certain number of days when she'll take the carriage and she'll ride through on the carriage, and then you can be there behind the ropes, and if you're lucky and you're in the right place and if you're at the right time, you'll be able to see the carriage go by, and then you'll be able to wave to the Queen. And I said, were you guys able to do that? She said, yeah, we were there, and we saw the carriage. I said, what does she look like? And she said, well, we couldn't really see the Queen herself, because the veil, you know, kind of covered it up and we didn't get to see her. But I mean, she was laying out all this stuff and I was thinking, man, that is a lot of work to see some lady. That's a lot of work. I'm sure they have good restaurants in London. You could have been eating or doing something else, something productive. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So let's concentrate on the word enter. Enter into his courts. Do you realize what an amazing thing it is for God to give us an invitation to approach him?
Yeah.
To approach
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Oh man, they were giving all kinds of rules. Okay, that if you ever meet the Queen, you got to extend this hand and not that. Man, I'd be so confused. I'd be like, what do I do? You know, which hand do I extend? Do I have her kiss? No, I kiss her hand. I think I got that backwards. But he says, enter into my gates with thanksgiving. That means we can go boldly into the presence of God. And what the New Testament says, we can approach him boldly. What are we going to bring? Oh man, I'm going before the Queen. Man, I got to dress up. I got to bring. He tells you what to bring right there. He says, when you come into his presence, when you cross through the gates, and it fits in the millennial kingdom, when all these nations are going to be going and visiting the Lord, he says, you come with thanksgiving and with praise. That's your ticket. That's how you get in. You come in, and what kind of gift you going to bring? What are you going to bring anyway? Really? What is God going to be impressed with, right? You're going to make some great thing, you know, you're a welder, so you're going to weld up some great contraption that he's going to be impressed with. No, you're going to come with thanksgiving and with praise. This is how we come into his presence. Now, anytime you come into his presence, you ought to come into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise. We already know a little bit about praise. Praise is just not mindless stuff. It's actually focused. It's informed. We know what we're giving him praise for. We know what kind of attributes we're giving him. And it's not just mindless. Then we come before his presence with thanksgiving. I think Lyndall mentioned it. Brothers and sisters, we need practice. Seriously, seriously, we need practice. Oh man, we need practice. When is the last time I heard a brother or sister talk about the great job that they had? Oh man, I got a great, man, I am so thankful for the job. Man, every now and then, but oh man, I had to work till 6 o'clock, all this and that, and I haven't had a raise in 2 years, and oh, my wife this, and oh, my kids that, and all this, and I went to HEB and they didn't have this, and all these kind of things, and you don't even realize you're doing it.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh man, thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. Man, they just cut my pay and I got half a paycheck. It didn't happen to me, but they cut my pay and I got half a paycheck. Well, I'm going to complain about the half that I didn't get, or am I going to be thankful for the half that I did get? Because you got to understand one thing is the Lord, he's our provider. He's taking care of us, not some company. Man, you waiting around. I can't remember the story I was going to tell, so it must have been insignificant, but I'm telling you, God, he's our provider. He's our caretaker. He's the one that leads us and guides us. And didn't we just read about the fact that he was a shepherd and that he leads us and he calls us out by name and he puts things in our path? And you know, sometimes God takes you through some hard things. You know that. Not everything in life is easy. Not everything is sunshine and rosy. Not every day is birds singing. There are some hard days, and there are days when you got to get sick, and there are days when things happen in your family, and there are times when you just go through a rough period of time, and then sometimes that rough period of time just keeps extending and just keeps extending and just keeps extending, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to end. I understand that. That's what life is all about. But in the midst of all of that, you want to get a sacrifice that you can offer to God that will circumvent all that. Give him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving.
Amen.
We don't come into his presence with bullocks or with sheep or with anything. This is the sacrifice that we bring to him. And listen, we got to do it by faith. I'm going to tell you, when we get into his presence, it's going to be so easy. It's going to be so cool. No ulterior motives. No distracted thoughts, no getting tired. We're going to have nothing that's going to stand in our way of giving him all the honor and the glory that we can possibly muster. We got to do it now. Amen. This is not a pep rally where we're trying to ignore the facts, where we're trying to get rid of it. We are thanking and praising God because he deserves it.
Praise.
Look at that
Lord.
Last
Amen.
Verse right here. It reiterates how focused we are. It says three things about the Lord. It says the Lord is good.
Amen.
His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations.
Amen.
I don't have anything to praise the Lord about. Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Nothing? Take these three things right here, because obviously it's not a praise of your condition. It's not a praise of your situation. It's a praise of the Lord.
Amen.
So why don't you start thinking about his goodness? Oh, realize how good God is. Now, you might not think God is good and that you don't deserve what you... If you realized, if you truly understood what you really deserved, what you truly deserved...
Yeah.
And the fact that God has cut you some slack, man, God is good.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, the fact that he thinks upon you every day that God is good, and you say, but I had a rough night, but God sustained you in that night, and he was with you, and he says that he never leaves you and forsakes you. Do you realize that when you're in the depth of your deepest suffering, he's right there with you? He doesn't bail out on you. He doesn't go out. He's good. Concentrate on the goodness of God. Concentrate on the mercy of God.
Amen.
Oh man, those that have received mercy, they know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you received mercy. I got some mercy one time, and it was such an incredible thing. We were in debt. I don't even remember how many untold thousands of dollars when Alyssa was little. And of course, as a man, I've got the responsibility to pay for all those debts. And there was this program, a state program that came in and said, look, we're going to be able to assume some of these medical debts. And it all got said and done, man. I owed a fraction of what I originally owed. And I went to that lady and I stuck out my hand and I shook her hand and I said, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. This is great. This is, and she stared at me and she said, you know, you're the first person to ever tell me thank you. I said, are you serious? Man, the state of Texas showed me a little bit of mercy and forgave some dollars on my account. God took me off the broad road that leads to destruction. He showed me mercy when I didn't deserve it. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross when I didn't deserve it. And He extended mercy to me. And He kept me alive long enough to hear the gospel. And then He sent somebody else. I ignored the first one. He sent somebody else. And I made fun of him. And He sent somebody else. And finally, God just, and He didn't have to do it. There's nothing in the rule book that says God's got to chase you to the ends of the earth to get you saved. There's nothing in the Bible that says God's got to give you more than one chance. There's nothing in the Bible God says He has to give you a chance. See, there's nothing in there about that. Everything that you receive from God is mercy. And if you're not saved and God has given you an opportunity in your mind to contemplate the things of God right now, that's mercy.
Amen.
And you can't praise God for that.
Yeah, praise Him. Amen.
Oh man, thank you, Lord. The Lord is good. He's merciful. What do I say about God? Say that He's good. Say that He's merciful.
Amen.
And His truth endureth. Man, God revealed His truth to us. Oh, that's incredible. Goodness, mercy, truth. What if the Lord had withhold all that? What if He hid Himself and became silent? We had no idea who He was, what He was, where He was. Well, that's actually an inane question because it didn't happen. He revealed Himself to us. He showed Himself to us. And this chapter right here, we sing this psalm sometimes. We sing it actually quite a bit. I think some have actually referred to it as the national anthem of Oak Knoll. Maybe take, and for good reason. Now, there's nothing in here about me, about I. There's not even any requests in here. There's nothing in here about, Lord, give me. Lord, could you provide me? Lord, help me. Everything is directed to Him. Listen, practice that. Lift up your soul to the Lord and practice true praise and see if it doesn't change your life and make you more of a witness to Him. And listen, if you're not saved here today, please, I implore you. If I had the power to be able to change your mind, I would. Do not underestimate the opportunity that you have right now to call upon the Lord. He's merciful, and He's ready to save you if you'll call upon His name. Lord is good. We're going to close out with a song, but before we sing, I do want you to let you know that this service is not over until the baptism outside. We're baptizing two young ladies, and so gather over there as soon as the song is done. Now, anybody have any idea what song I'm going to call out? Song 92 in the... No. Open your Bibles to Psalm 100 since you're there already, and let's close out and let's give God some of the praise that He deserves.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth, endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord.
Amen. Meet us outside for the baptism.